I am Valerie Thompson. Welcome you back to part 3 of the general speech. As you can see, it's getting more interesting with the former army boss, who turns 84 in April, clearing the air on a number of things that happened during the 1979 to 83 Grenada Revolution. Eche begins this segment by explaining the role of the Budlal brothers in the March 1379 Grenada Revolution. Let's begin with a question from George Wolfe.
Okay, we're coming back to some of the ugly days of the revolution. It is generally known that Kennedy Budlal was very much involved in the revolution before he was detained. Where did things go wrong between Budlal and the leaders of the revolution?
I don't know. I only know that they detained Budlal and them up to now, nobody ever tell me for what good reason. You see things like detention and so they fall under the army.
You fall under Usu. So Usu is the man to say why the Budlals were detained.
But you also know who Usu is.
Code number 2 man.
I'm only number one.
Well, number one, sorry, I have to correct that.
You see the position he got him into? What's the position he had? Later, the army had security, intelligence. So he getting the report even before Morris get it. You understand?
Point well taken. H.A., can you shed light on reports that the Budlals were not involved in the actual March 13th overthrow of Gary, but came out with their forces later in the day to help consolidate the revolution by moving in and take over the police station in Grenville? They were not part of the NLA operation in Trublo, but they got involved later in the day.
Yeah, I understand they got involved later. I can't say physically that I saw it, but I understand they got involved later on. There are a lot of people who wasn't got involved later on, and I understand the Budlal boys got in later on. Listen, in the early days of the revolution, the Budlal boys was in the army. They used to control the airport in Grenville and all of that. All of them, both of the brothers was in the army in the early days.
What about these reports, that allegation that they were trying to get involved in this ganja culture and exportation? What were these reports? Was it fabricated by the powers of the day?
But, mister, you see, these guys, I think so, is a security matter. And I can't say yes or no about that. But to say that the Budlal boys were these kind of devils that they try to make them out, I know them well, and that ain't true. I know that ain't true. That ain't true. You see, when certain people can't control you, they paint you to their image and likeness. Right? I am not one to run around and do that kind of thing with people. And a lot of people didn't like me in the party for that. You don't just paint a man because you don't like him. Remember, that's an individual. Right? I don't do those things. I don't do it. So people might say, no, I painted Bernard because I didn't like him. It's not about I didn't like him. I didn't like his ways. I didn't like his behavior and his attitude and the things he do.
That's different. General Austin, there are reports that the assassination of Innocent Belmar from Budgegrove, a key figure around Gary, was done on the orders of the NGM leaders as part of the process to chart the armed overthrow of the government. How true is this, that it was really an NGM operation?
Well, if it's an NGM operation, I had no part in it, and I do not know about any plan to kill innocent Belmont. I knew nothing about the offer, if it was around. I say no, because so many things happen behind my back that I learn about after I come from prison. That, George, I am not opening my mouth now to say no, that was not true. I don't know, it could have been true. I even see in someone, in one of their book, later I think in a book, we moved tonight or something, so. What are you saying? Certain things was done in around the country, the morning of the revolution, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
So there were two forces at work.
You understand? You understand?
Bernard and his oral group.
Yeah.
And those NGM who saw Morris as
that's
the
right. Because that thing that he talking about there, I don't know what about it.
General, let me switch again to some of the internal happenings within the NGM. Was Marxism-Leninism on the agenda of the NGM prior to March 13, 1979, when Kerry was overthrown?
Prior to?
The question is, was Marxism-Leninism on the agenda of the NGM prior to March 13, 1979, when Gary was overthrown? The long and short of this is when did the party really start to study the Marxist doctrine as a way forward?
I think that came about with oil. I think that came about with oil. The coming into being of oil. I can't remember any discussion anyway, in the party board, Marxism, Leninism, until Oral.
So when Oral came in, you started to introduce Marxism, Leninism. That's what you're saying?
I wasn't in the damn thing. I was never in any Oral thing.
But there used to be study group.
There used to have study group, but not me.
Oh, you are not in the study group?
Not in the study group. No way. No way. I was never in any other study group.
But Morris used to be part of the study group.
I can't see.
You can't see.
I can't see if Morris used to be in the study group or not. I know they used to read a lot of books about Marx and Lenin and them different fellows and them. Marx and Lenin and a lot of the
Trevor Monroe had a book too.
Eh?
Trevor Monroe had a book too that he used to study, I understand. I understand that I used to also read and study a book written by Trevor Monroe. I think it was the ABC of Communism.
Where do you know that?
You don't know about that because you never took part in the study groups.
No, I never in the study groups.
Fair enough.
I didn't think they wanted me to. Because I have to remember, I was in the church.
You were a preacher?
Yeah.
At one time?
Yeah.
Methodist?
Yeah.
Le preacher.
A local preacher. I was in church still.
Okay, General, one revolutionary told me that shortly after the revolution triumph, that Code wanted to nationalize a lot of the private sector businesses on the island. But the Cuban cautioned against this approach as they felt that this was one of the biggest mistakes they made themselves after the overthrow of the Batista regime.
Yeah.
By Fidel, as this in itself led to a major conflict with Washington, which is still calling for compensation from the Cuban government
right.
for those businesses that were nationalized. Let's share your take on this about Code and what we hear that he wanted to nationalize.
I won't be surprised, but let me tell you, that kind of matter would have been discussed with me. That would have been discussed more with people who control the private sector, the trade union, and this. What I do know, that Code wanted to do, he wanted to declare NTM a communist party.
Mm-hmm.
I know about that one, it get stopped up so blasted fast, he was surprised.
When did you do that, in the Central Committee?
I think it was in a general meeting. And that was voted down. I think in a general meeting, I can't remember exactly. Well, no, he learned one morning in some meeting, we declared the NGM, the Communist Party of Grenada. Well, they get lashed down so fast.
Interesting.
George, that is the fastest cane feeder I ever seen cut down.
I like how you put it. Because the feeling is that...
Because you don't cut cane.
Of course. The feeling is that these things, and, you know, the Cubans were not going along with some of...
No. They wanted to guide us, showing us the mistakes they made. And they didn't want us to make the same mistake.
Because they said that that helped to bring the coldness in the relationship between Code and the Cubans.
That's right. And then he's talking all kind of stupid things when people didn't like him and all kind of nonsense. Wait, who he was in so beating at did some kind of stupid things he talk about in the book. In the book he talk about, lie! Because I was in the meeting too, you forget. I was in there with myself, himself, and Boris.
I think what you were saying is that a question he had posed to Fidel, and Fidel did not know answer to the question. And Fidel then had to go and consult with some other Cuban experts.
Sure.
That is why I think Bernard Code was making that point, you know, that he, to say that, look, I could have asked Fidel a question and he couldn't answer. Sure. Now, General, I want you to clear up some things for the Grenadian people. When Bernard Code resigned as Minister of Finance in early October...
He didn't invite me as Minister of Finance.
Well, there was an announcement which came out on RFG that he had resigned.
He did resign as Minister of Finance. That is not true. He resigned. You see, if he resigned as Minister of Finance, automatically he had to move as Deputy Prime Minister. You think he's stupid? He did not resign as Minister of Finance. He resigned from the Central Committee.
That was in the 82 period. But when he came back,
when he came back in,
it was in the October, leading up to the October 1983 events.
Yeah.
Right? Because when he was negotiating with White Man and George Louison over the house arrest of Morris, he was supposed to be the other joint leader of the NGM.
Yeah.
But when this rumor hit, that the so-called rumor hit, that Bishop said Bernard and his wife wanted to kill him, there was an announcement which came out, and as part of the announcement, it was said that Nazim Bok is a new Minister of Finance. You are a member of the PRG. Is that really true?
We can't remember that at all, you know.
You can't remember
Nazim Bok? I can't remember. It could have been true. It could have been true because them finance together, them together used to get involved in too much of that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
My business, as you know, is construction and them kind of things there. But that could have been true. I ain't denying it. I won't deny it. Could have been true.
I remember the report. So you can remember it. Fair enough with me. But I also want to ask you something to clarify. Mr. Bok has often denied that he ever held a gun in his hand during the entire life of the Grenadian Revolution. As commander of the army, do you know if Mr. Bok was a member of the militia and would have been exposed to some kind of military training?
Yeah, but I think he was a member of the militia. He never held a gun in his hand. That's a lie, man.
That's what he said.
That's a lie.
Fair enough, H.A.?
He's not a liar, man. He's not a liar either.
There's something I want to ask you, which I want you to shed some light on. There are reports that on March 13, 1979 itself, that during of the NGM leaders, that Morris was kind of reluctant to come forward as the undisputed leader of the revolution and prime minister. There was talk that he...
Yeah, but that could lie.
That is not true.
That is not true. By the liar of the century. That is not true. Though we always push that kind of line, you know, that Maurice was showing leadership and all of that, and Maurice was dealing with the process right and all them kind of things, pushing all that kind of lines, right? But that is not true. That is not true at all. That is not true.
I've also heard that Bernard, who is the one who pushed forward a case for Unison Whiteman to become the Minister of Agriculture, and for he, Bernard, to be put as Minister of Finance. And that was done because it is said that Uni had 2 degrees in economics and should have been really the Minister of Finance and the Economy in the PRG, because he was said to be even more qualified than Bernard.
Listen. Bernard is a man. He's so cunning that you can't even trust what he tells you. Bernard is a man from day one. What to push aside you? He is the one who joke at Morris, to make you the foreign minister. So you need to be always out of the country, foreign minister, so you can consolidate the place and warn Morris about Bernard Good and his attitude. I warn him. The morning when he left, he was going away, somewhere either in the state or somewhere he was going, early in the revolution. And he put Bernard Good to act. When he came back, I say, Maurice, you're wrong. I told him, you this white man fight all the struggle with you. Unison Whiteman is the founder of the jewel movement. Unison Whiteman joined with you. Your map and jewel joined to form the jewel movement. All the lockup and beat up and the demonstration, all Unison Whiteman was there. Where was Bernard Good? I put it all to him. I said, you made a mistake. Unison Whiteman should have been the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. He had 2 degrees in economics, 1 in agriculture. Oh, but Bernard Good around and said, Unison Whiteman is minor economics or something. The person who is a minor economist, as compared to the person who is a big economist.
So he was a big economist and he was a little economist.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking for them. I said, I'm a minor. Always pushing that.
A pseudo economist?
Always pushing that.
Now, H.A., how true are reports?
Huh?
How true are the reports that in the lead up to the crisis in the party back in October 1983, that Code was instrumental in raising the pay of the soldiers, give them, I think, about $30 on the pay, as part of his ploy to get the soldiers to see him as their savior?
Listen, George, I only know that after I come from prison.
So as commander of the army,
I did not know
that a man get a $30
pay. I was out of the country, remember, you know? He did that behind my back. He had laid and them raised the soldier pay. I didn't even know. Well, if you know, I would never get paid in the army. I would never pay as a soldier, as a commander of the army.
Mm-hmm. So Court is raising the salary of your men and you don't know?
I don't know. He did that behind my back and nobody that either laid nor also no, any of the top men.
Cornwall, Major.
Well, Cornwall was a man in Cuba. Could only bring him back. Get him to come back in, you know, for the meetings. You think about a body that quite from human very much to a meeting because you had no intention?
Hey, listen to all what you have said. And I want to ask you this question. Are you not prepared to tell the world that it was a myth that the Americans were behind what happened on October 19, 1983, and it was really a bit by oral to take power, that the Americans had nothing to do with how this internal events in the NGM unfolded?
America had to do hell shit with what? America had nothing to do with it. It was, everything was manipulated and instigated by code. America what? The Americans didn't like the revolution, we all know that. Because they see relation with Cuba, relation with Nicaragua, relation with Russia. They didn't like the revolution. But the Americans had nothing to do with it. Nothing.
So they were not really able to really infiltrate the NGM leadership. It was like NGM people give them...
The NGM people did that for themselves. With an internal coup then. That is what they were planning. And when they didn't succeed properly, they burned their people.
Now, if you were to see Maurice Bishop now, what will you tell him?
You pay for your mistakes.
Elaborate.
Huh?
Elaborate on that.
Well, people was warning you, including Leslie Payne, about Brother Ancone. Warning him. That Brother Ancone is a sinister, power-hungry, even from the days of scouting, power-hungry fella. I warned Maurice. I warned him that there was an organization called Love in Trinidad. And I had a guy from Love who came into Grenada to have some discussion with me on certain things. And that guy say, Austin, I see you all have two people here, Bernard and his wife. Who are close in your politics? He say, I wanted all you to watch them. Anything them can control and take over, they mash it up. I told Morris what the guy said. There was another guy from Trinidad. She used to have something to do with UWE and education and them kind of
things.
Another one, a guy from Trinidad. Who came in here too. And she was staying in where Bob Evans and them had some houses going in Lanzapini.
Mm-hmm, the
cottages.
Some cottages.
Yeah, so stayed in one of these cottages. And I went to pick up one evening and she told me, Austin, well, let me be careful. You see Bernard and Phyllis Code? I see they're involved in all your politics. Be careful. And I want you to tell Maurice this for me. Be careful with them two people. They are real manipulators. You see, and when they can't manipulate you properly, they spread rumors about you. And that's what they used to do in the day. For instance, me. You all have to watch these people. Bernard and his wife. They are manipulators, and when they can't manipulate, they spread rumors on you. They find some kind of lie to push on. For instance, they were pushing a lie on me in the party. Bernard, Phyllis and his oral people that I don't like women.
That you don't like women?
I don't like women.
I'm not a woman. But they say that you are a womanizer.
Huh?
But I used to say you were a womanizer.
A womanizer?
That's what I used to hear about you. I don't know how true it is. I hear your name calling with A, B, C, D, E.
That's all. I deal a lot with women. But I'm no womanizer. even here in Matiga. You will surprise to know, Georgia, among the women, people have problems that come to me. I don't use that.
You're a problem solver.
Children come to me to help them with their lessons. Children come to me when I went to my husband, but now yet I'm teaching them computer. I help the children with their lessons, their class. Children go to secondary school, come in and I help them. Then go back to the day where, if you remember, Pat Pascal and all of them. All of them used to be here. The Duba girls. Mm-hmm. All of them used to be here. Groups of children. I used to help with their lessons. I still have children with their homework without one of them would be able to put a question.
It is said.
You have just heard part 3 of The General Speaks, an interview with Hudson Austin, the former Army commander on the 38th anniversary of the bloody events on Fort Rupert, Fort George, in which Revolutionary Prime Minister Maurice Bishop was executed following a power struggle with Bernard Code. We will be back with part 4 in the next hour.